and sisters like you. What a wonderful family the Lord has indeed given us. This morning we're going to be studying from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. If you want to give a title to the message, I have entitled it, The Peril, The Promise, and The Pathway. Let's bow our head in prayer before we get started. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word. That we live in a country, Father, where we can gather together in your name and openly worship you and study your word. And Father, we pray this morning that as we partake of your word, that Lord, we would recognize some things about you that maybe we haven't understood before. Or Father, that if there be any in our midst who do not know you, that this morning they would come to know you. Lord, we pray above all things that your name would be glorified, that you would be magnified in our hearts, and that, Lord, we could bring glory and honor to you through our very lives, Father God, as we go out into the highways, the byways, Father God, into the hedges, and wherever we might be, Father God, from the schoolyard to the barnyard, Father God. It doesn't matter where we go, that you might be magnified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's a story of Theodore Roosevelt having gone to Africa, and he went on a hunting trip, and he was there for several weeks. And then on his trip home, he got on a ship, and he was coming home after several weeks of being away. And on that same ship was a missionary that after 40 years of being a missionary there in Africa was on his way home to spend his last few years there in America with his family and to finally retire and settle down. And upon arriving at the dock in America, there was hundreds of people waiting to greet the president, waving banners and flags and signs. And the missionary, feeling sorry for himself, thought to himself, Lord, after 40 years of service, there's no one here to greet me when I get home. And immediately the Spirit of the Lord quickened his heart and he said, but son, you're not home yet. For the believer, there is going to be a homecoming. And for the unbeliever, there is a hell coming. There is coming a day when we will be with the Lord forever. There is coming a day that we can see, like that song said this morning, we can see the light of coming. Even though there's troubles now, even though there's problems now, we can see that light coming. But until He comes, we will praise the Lord. And this message this morning is an encouragement from the Lord. First of all, He gives a caution about a peril that can happen to anyone. And then He gives a promise of a home in heaven. And then He tells them of the pathway, that He is the pathway. He begins by saying in John chapter 14, these are the words of Jesus. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He begins out with a precaution, with a caution of a peril that does exist, that the heart of an individual can get so troubled. That word trouble means so agitated, so confused, so perplexed to the point where they cast away their confidence and their trust and their faith in God. And He's giving a caution. Do not allow your heart to become so overwhelmed with grief, so overwhelmed with trouble, so overwhelmed with the problems and cares of this world that you cast away your confidence and trust in the living God. It's possible. The Bible says when Jesus was talking to His disciples and they asked Him, what will be the signs of your coming? And He begins to tell them that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be perplexities. There will be calamities. There will be all these things taking place. He goes, and in Luke chapter 21 verse 26, He says, and the hearts of many will fail them for the fear that is coming upon the land. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, He says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. There is the potential possibility that the heart of the individual can grow cold towards God by being so overwhelmed, so overtaken, so confused, so agitated by the problems and cares that might come. Maybe it's a bad report. Maybe the doctor has told you have some type of disease. Maybe it's a bad report that a loved one has just passed away. Maybe it's a son or a daughter that is wayward and has run away from home. Or maybe it's a son or daughter that has gone to an early grave. There are many things in this world that can cause perplexity and troubling of heart. Now, he's not saying don't grieve. He's not saying don't sorrow. But what he's saying is don't allow the grief and the sorrow to get to the place where it overwhelms your faith and trust in God and it blinds you to the fact that God is there, that God loves you, and that God cares. And so he gives this precaution. And remember, these are the words of Jesus as he's getting ready to go to the cross. These are some of his last words before he faces Calvary. And he's saying, you know what? Don't allow yourself to be troubled. Don't allow yourself to be agitated. Don't allow yourself to be so overwhelmed. Don't grieve as those who have no hope. Because it's going to come to all of us. How many of you know that troubles come to everyone that is alive on planet Earth? How many of you know that sorrow comes to everyone that is alive on planet Earth? How many of you know that complexities and perplexities and adversities come to every human being that has ever been born and that breathes on planet Earth? They do come. But the warning here is to his disciples, and we who know Jesus are his disciples, and this warning and this caution is to us. Don't allow yourself to be so overwhelmed where you lose sight of the fact that God is still in control, that God is still on the throne, and that God has things in his hands and he knows what he's up to. We may not understand it. We may not comprehend it completely, but you know what? God is in control. And when we remember that fact, and we put our trust in that fact, that is the remedy for agitation of the heart. Because he says, believe in God, believe also me. Quite literally, he's saying, put your faith in God and put your faith in me as the mediator between God and man. I am the mediator. I am the in-between. I am the beginning, I am the middle, and I am the end. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, and I'm everything in between. No matter what problems you're facing, no matter what struggles you're facing, no matter what troubles there may be in your life, God is in control. And he will always be in control. There is not a problem, there is not a trouble, there is not a trial, there is not a person that can knock God from his place on the throne. He sits firmly on his throne. He is firmly established upon his throne. And so Jesus here is giving a precaution that there is a peril. There is the peril of losing heart. There is the peril of allowing yourself to be so overwhelmed that you walk away from God. That you turn your back on him. That you say, forget it. I had it easier when I was out in the world. Forget it. The people in the world don't seem to have all the problems I have. Forget about this life of living a Christian life. People in the world don't seem to go through the things I'm going through. They have all the money they want. They seem to have all the happiness they want. They seem to have all these different things. And Jesus is saying that's not so, because there is coming the end of the path when all these things they may seemingly have now are going to be nothing. And they're going to mean nothing. But for us, there is a promise that he's going to give. And he gives this promise not only as a way to help secure them and to help them understand that at the end of the world, there is something waiting, something else waiting. At the end of the road is not more problems. At the end of the way is not more troubles. At the end of the way is not more trials. But at the end of the way is a home in heaven with Jesus Christ forever. Free of problems. Free of worries. Free of troubles. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more suffering. None of those things will be in existence in the new kingdom and in the new earth. God has promised us the day is coming when you'll never have to attend another funeral service. The day is coming when you'll never have to schedule another doctor's appointment. The day is coming when you'll never have to hear another bad report. The day is coming when the trump of God will sound and the voice of the archangel will shout and Jesus himself will descend and the dead in Christ will rise and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air with them and so shall we be with the Lord forever. And this will all take place in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. We will all be transformed and this corruptible will put on the incorruptible and this mortal will put on immortality. And then comes the saying, O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. But the victory over death is Jesus Christ himself, who went through death and rose from the dead and lives forevermore. So he's giving this warning, he's giving this precaution, but then he gives this great promise. In my Father's house are many mansions. I want you to see whose house it is. It's the Father's house. That means we have a homecoming, a welcome party waiting for us. The Father is waiting for us when we get over there. The Father is waiting to welcome us with open arms. There is a homecoming. I believe He's going to stand up and applaud as we get to the heavenly shores, and He's going to applaud and stand up for us and say, "Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. Well done, good and faithful servant." I long to hear those words that day when He will speak those words to us. Whether it's through death that we get home, or whether the rapture of the church takes place at any moment now, because it's imminent. It's going to happen very soon. Jesus Christ is coming back for His church, for His people, for every believer. And if you're here today and you're an unbeliever, then there's not a homecoming awaiting you. There's a hell coming awaiting you. There was a poll done. 75% of the people in America say they believe in a place called heaven. 60% believe that they have a good shot at getting to heaven. 80% believe that their friends won't make it to heaven. Well, that's an interesting statistic. That's because sometimes your friends know you best. They probably look at you and go, "Well, I don't know how he'll ever make it or how she'll ever make it." Well, Jesus is going to give him the answer, because Thomas kind of was confused. He was perplexed. He's like, "Well, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know how to get there?" Because the disciples, if you remember, believed that Jesus was going to establish an earthly kingdom, an earthly rule, and they believed that he was going to do it at this time. And when he said, "I'm going away," Thomas is saying, but Lord, where are you going? And how can we get there? We don't know where you're going. So how are we going to know where you're getting, how to get there?" And then Jesus comes back with this great response. First, he gives them the peril. Then he gives them the promise. And now he's going to give them the pathway. He's going to say, "This is the way you get there. This is the way from earth to heaven. This is the way from death to life. This is the way from darkness to light." He says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When he says, "I am the way," he's quite literally saying, "I am the road that provides access from earth to heaven. I am the only access." He did not say, "I am one of many ways." He did not say, "I'm one of many ways." You can't positively think yourself into heaven. You can't positively confess yourself into heaven. You can't blow yourself up into heaven as some religions try to do. They strap bombs to themselves, blow themselves up, believe they're going to heaven and going to have 70 virgins waiting up there for them. You're not going to blow yourself into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. There is only one way into heaven, and that one way is in and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and it's no other way. And here, he's telling Thomas very clearly. He says, "I am the way. I am the way." You know, some people believe they can buy their way into heaven. When my uncle first died, for the first couple of years after his death, on the anniversary of his death, we would get an invitation from my aunt and some of his children to come and attend a mass and bring an offering so they can light some candles and pray him out of purgatory so the priest could say a special prayer and he could get out of purgatory. But you know, if you want to go to purgatory, buy your ski passes this winter and have fun skiing, because that's the only place there is a purgatory. Your choice, your decision for Jesus Christ is to be made now. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. Today is the day to get on the pathway. If you don't get on the pathway today, there is no way to get on the pathway after you're dead and gone. You know, and there's some people that believe that. There's others believe you can positively confess yourself into heaven. That by positive confession, that your words are seeds that contain your destiny. We're taught that by certain religions. There's certain doctrines out there that teach that by your own words you create your reality. Well, let me tell you something. You can create all the reality you want by speaking your words, but it's never going to get you into heaven. You can speak it all you want, but you never get there. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus said, "I am that only way. I am the only way." There is an exclusivity about it. There are some people that will come right out and say, "You Christians are so narrow-minded. You mean to tell me that Jesus is the only way? Well, what about Buddha? Well, what about Muhammad? Well, what about Hare Krishna? Well, what about them? They're dead. I can go to their graves and find their bones in there. But the grave of Jesus Christ is empty. He is risen indeed. He is not in the grave. He is alive and he lives forevermore." And so we see that taking place here. Jesus making a clear point. And when you are confronted by individuals that tell you, you know what, I sincerely believe that I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Well, you can't be good enough to get to heaven. There's not enough good works in you, and there's not enough goodness in any of us in this room today. Even if we were to combine all our goodness together in one package, there's not enough goodness there to get us to heaven. We cannot be good enough to get to heaven. Only God is good. And only His sacrifice was good enough to get us to heaven. See, there's people that want shortcuts to heaven. There's people that want to take a different route than Jesus Christ. There's people that want to try and find some other way in. It's said of W.C. Fields when he was on his deathbed that he asked his friends to bring him a Bible. He had never read the Bible his entire life. He didn't believe in God. He was an atheist. On his deathbed, he says, "Bring me a Bible." And his friends look at him like, "What are you doing, W.C.?" He says, "Well, I'm going to read it. I'm going to see if I can find any loopholes." He was looking for a loophole into heaven. There is no loophole. There is only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus makes his statement. And when he says, "I am the way," he says, "I am the road that provides access to heaven." He's also saying, "I am the way to eternal life." He is the road that provides access to eternal life. He is a road that provides access to peace with God. He is a road that provides light instead of darkness. He is a road that provides all these things that we have need of. You see, there is nothing else but Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus himself here is making that clear. He says, "I am the way." In other words, "I am the beginning of the road." He says, "I am the truth." He's the middle of the road. And he says, "I am the life." At the end of the road is eternal life. With God the Father and with Jesus Christ, they're waiting for us. See, there is no other way. And there's people that will tell you there's many ways to heaven. There's not. There's only one way. And we need to be aware of that. And we need to remember that. And we need to remind people of that when they tell us things like that. We need to correct their doctrine when they tell us things like, "I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven." That's our opportunity to say, "Well, the Bible says that there's none good, none righteous, none holy enough. Jesus is the only way." Or when they say, "Well, I believe in Buddha and I meditate and I have transcendental meditation and I'm going to meditate myself into heaven." That's when we have the opportunity to tell them, "No, the Word of God says, unless a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Unless he come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and get on the way to heaven, he will not get there." You see, the Word of God says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Quite literally, the only way to everlasting life into heaven is Jesus Christ. Every other way is a dead end. There is no other way. And so he makes this point and he says, "I am the way." Then he says, "I am the truth." What is truth? Well, he is the truth. Truth is verity. Truth is actuality. Truth is reality. He is basically saying, "I am the reality of this way. I am the reality of heaven. I am the actuality that you will get to heaven. If it were not so, I would not have told you." Because Jesus is not a man that he would lie. He will not lie to us. He has spoken the truth to us and he will speak the truth to us. And he says, "I am the reality of heaven." You want to know what heaven is going to be like? Look to Jesus. Because what's going to make it heaven is not the streets of gold, is not the mansions, is not the pearly gates. What's going to make it heaven is that Jesus Christ is going to be there. That's what's going to make it heaven for us, is that we're going to spend eternal life with Him whose fingers, whose hands have the holes in His hands and His feet, who bears the scars of the crown of thorns upon His head. That is what is going to make it heaven for us. Oh, it'll be great to walk on streets of gold. But if that's what you're going for the wrong reason. Or the pearly gates. No, my brothers and sisters, we're going because we're going to be with Jesus forever. That's the assurance we have. That's what can sustain our hearts when we're going through the trials and troubles of this world. To understand and to know and to recognize that, you know what? There is a heaven coming. There is a homecoming awaiting me. There is a day coming when my Father God is going to wrap His arms around me and welcome me into His presence forever and ever. And did you know He's already welcomed you there even right now where you're on this earth? You've been accepted in the Beloved. You're already a part of His kingdom. Eternal life doesn't begin the day you die. Eternal life has already begun if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There is coming that day when the trump of God will sound, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He says, "I'm that truth. I am the actuality. I am the reality of eternal life. I am the reality of peace with God. I am the reality of security and safety in this world. I am He who overcomes the world, and this is that that overcometh the world, even your faith, your trust, your hope, your confidence in Christ Jesus. If you want to be an overcomer in this world, the only way to overcome is to put your hope, your trust, and faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way to overcome. It doesn't matter what comes your way. He is the reality. See, the things we see right now, they're just temporary, but the things which we cannot see are eternal. He is an eternal God. And you may not be able to see Him with your natural eyes, but I'll tell you what. We have an invisible means of support, and I'm not talking about Playtex either, that the world does not offer. I saw a bumper sticker on a car that said, an atheist is someone that has no invisible means of support. We have that support. We have a strength that comes from above. We have a strength that comes from God that sustains us in the midst of every storm. We have a strength that comes to give us that security even when we're feeling insecure in this world. We have that strength that comes to give us acceptance when we feel unaccepted and unloved in this world. Brother and sister, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, it doesn't matter how unloved you feel. That is a lie. You are loved by God. God loves you. He gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. And we have the assurance that He's going to take us home to be with Himself forever. And so He gives them this promise. And He gives them this pathway to Him. And He says, I am the life. Quite literally, I am an eternal life. There is no other life. Every other life is a false life. There's only one rock. Every other rock is a shamrock. It's a fake. It's not real. Every other life is not real. Every other life, at the end of it, is death. At the end of it is destruction. At the end of it is hopelessness. At the end of it is despair. At the end of it is deep darkness. But I want to tell you, child of God, if you're here today and you're down in the dumps, if you're depressed, if you're discouraged, if you're despondent, if you're sick, if you're going through troubles of heart, hang on. Because if we endure to the end, there is that home awaiting us. Hang on to the one who is able to strengthen you. Hang on to the one who is able to succor you. Hang on to the one who is able to deliver you. Hang on to the one who is able to lift you. Hang on to the one who will never let you go. No, He never lets go. Through the highs and through the lows, He never lets go of you. And He'll never let go of us. You're His child. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And such we are. And because we are His children, the world does not recognize us, for it did not recognize Him. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He comes, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. The day is coming when we will have new bodies. The day is coming when we will have eternal life. The day is coming when we will never again have to deal with sin, when we will never again have to deal with discouragement, when we will never again have to deal with depression, when we will again never have to deal with any of these things that come into our lives. But until then, let's keep on praising Him. Until then, let's keep our focus upon Him. Until then, let's not cast away our confidence in God, but let us draw near to Him with hearts that are wide open to Him to say, Lord, here am I, Your servant. Do with me as You will, Lord God. Unto You be the glory. Unto You be the honor. Unto You be the praise. Great and mighty things have You done. He has loved us with a love that is unspeakable, unequal, incomprehensible. Paul writes, he says, I want you to understand the love of God. The breadth, the depth, the width, the height of that love. You know, that love is incomprehensible. We can't get our finite minds around a grasp of that infinite love. And that's how much God loves you. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never gotten on the pathway of life, then you're not on your way to heaven. Yeah, that may sound a little bit exclusive. That may sound a little bit narrow-minded. But you know what? I would rather believe the truth because He is the truth than to believe other things that are not the truth. Error is contrary to truth. And there's a lot of error out there. There's a lot of people that say, I have the truth. The Book of Mormon is the truth. No, the Book of Mormon is not the truth. The Pearl of Great Price is the truth. No, that is not the truth.
The Quran is the truth. No, that is not the truth. The Bhagavad Gita is the truth. No, that is not the truth. There is only one truth. And that truth is the living Christ. And He said He is the living Word. The Word that was, the Word that is, and the Word that will always be. And His Word sanctifies us, because He prays in John chapter 17, sanctify them by Your Word. Thy Word is truth. There is only one truth that saves. There is only one truth that will get you from here to heaven. There is only one way from here to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. No other way. No other way. And there may be people here today that are thinking, well, you know what? I haven't done a lot of good works. God might find me short-handed when I get there, that I didn't have enough good things stacked up in my favor. Let me tell you something. You can't do enough good things to get stacked up in your favor. Jesus paid the price. He did it all on the cross. He said, it is finished. Tetelestai. It is complete. Salvation's work is done. The beginning of the journey is with Christ's outstretched arm on the cross this way. The end of the journey is with Christ's arm outstretched this way to heaven. He reached from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven, so that we could cross on Him. He is the only way. He is the only path. And so there are many who want to try to come up with different philosophies and different teachings of how to get to Jesus. The seven steps to heaven. There's only one step to heaven, and that's to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's not seven steps to heaven. It's one step. Trust in Jesus. Put your heart and soul and life into Jesus Christ. Everything you are, everything you have, everything you will become, put it in Jesus. That's the only way to heaven. And you want to have a little bit of heaven on earth? Then walk in Jesus. Live in the truth. Walk in the truth. Do not be just hearers of the Word only, but be doers of the Word. You see, works won't get you to heaven, but works are a sign of a living faith. Good works. But you can't get to heaven by your good works. But good works come because you're on your way to heaven. Let God use you for whatever good works He prepared you for. The Bible says we're not saved by works, but by grace through faith. This not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of the works, lest any man should boast. And then in Ephesians 2:10 there it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, prepared unto all good works, that we may walk therein. The reason He saves us is and prepares our hearts and our lives is so that we can walk in those good works He's prepared beforehand for us to walk in. Works of love, works of mercy, works of compassion, works of grace. The most gracious thing you can do is to tell a brother or a sister or a person that you know that's on their way to hell how to get to heaven. That is the most gracious and loving thing you can do. The most gracious and loving thing you can do is to let someone in on the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There's lots of people going the wrong way thinking they're on the right path, but at the end of it is that dead end waiting for them. And you and I who know the truth, our responsibility while we're here on planet Earth is not only to walk in the way, but to tell others how to walk in the way and how to travel on the road that leads from heaven to earth and earth to heaven. That Jesus Christ came down so that we could go up. That He came here temporarily so He could go back to the Father eternally. And we're here temporarily and we're going to go to the Father and be with Him eternally. That day is coming, brothers and sisters. Let that cause your heart to rejoice. Let that cause your heart to magnify the Lord when you're feeling down and depressed and discouraged. Let that be the thing that keeps you going in the morning when you get up and you're facing another difficult day or another difficult illness or another day of depression or another day of discouragement. Let that be the thing that comes into the forefront of your mind and keeps your heart at peace, is that I'm on my way to heaven, and soon and very soon I am going to see the King. Soon and very soon He is coming back for me, and this earth will soon be over and this journey will soon be over, and there is a homecoming that is awaiting me. My Father is waiting for me. Jesus is waiting for me. And those who have gone before in faith are waiting for me. He speaks of many mansions. He knows something we don't. He's preparing for many people to be in heaven. Those 80% of the people that were polled that don't believe their friends are going to make it there, they're going to be surprised when their friends are there. I think that's going to be one of the most popular questions in heaven. How do you make it in? I've asked myself that before. Well, I made it the same way everyone else makes it in. Through Jesus Christ. Through faith in Him. Through trusting Him. Through giving my life to Him. You see, He gave His life for us on the cross over 2,000 years ago. Jesus laid down His life freely on the cross. They drove nails through His hands and through His feet. They put a crown of thorns upon His head. They beat Him till He looked worse than ground beef. You couldn't recognize Him. There was nothing recognizable about Him. He didn't look like a man anymore by the time they got done with it. But it says He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him because He knew that many children would come to the kingdom because of His sacrifice. And brothers and sisters, I want you to remember that today you're here born again on your way to heaven because Jesus Christ willingly laid down His life for you. The next time you feel discouraged, the next time you feel depressed, the next time you feel despondent, the next time you feel disillusioned, remember Jesus. Remember the price He paid. Remember that He is the way. Remember that He's promised that He's gone to prepare a place for you, and it must be some place because He's been preparing it for over 2,000 years. Can you imagine, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him? You haven't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet, like they say sometimes here in Texas. You all ain't seen nothing yet. I'm still trying to learn my Texan, and I'm not too good on it yet. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Think of the most beautiful home you've seen. It cannot compare to what God's preparing for you. Think of the most beautiful outfit of clothes you've ever seen. It's nothing compared to the robe that is dipped in the blood of the Lamb that purchased our salvation and got us into heaven. You see, God is a good God. And He loves you. And He wants you to keep on the pathway. He wants you to recognize and to walk in the truth of who He is and what He's done. You don't need to try in your own strength. Because I found out throughout the years that when I try to serve God in my own strength, I always fail. I'm not good enough to do it. I can't serve God in my own strength. I need Christ in me to serve God through me. But I can't do it in my own strength. There's no other way but through Jesus. And then He says, I am that life. What life? The eternal life. The abundant life. You hear that a lot, talked about the abundant life. Why, there's one preacher on television that wrote a book, Seven Steps to Prosperity Through Jesus Christ. It's not what he's talking about when he talks about abundant life. He's not talking about a big bank account, a Rolls Royce, a mansion, and a yacht. He's not talking about a bigger swimming pool. He's not talking about bigger and better material possessions. When he's talking about being abundant life, he's talking about a life that is full of joy and glory. Unspeakable joy, unspeakable glory, full of peace in the midst of storms. Because in verse 27 of this same chapter, he's going to say, my peace I give to you. Not a peace as the world gives, I give to you. So don't let your heart be troubled. You heard me say that I was going away, and if I go away, I will come again and take you to myself. That is the peace that we have, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. You know what? Nothing in this world can compare to the glory that awaits us. Paul says that he counts all these things as temporary light afflictions compared to the glory that awaits us. Are you able to call the things you're bearing up under temporary light afflictions compared to the glory that awaits? Have you focused on the glory that awaits you? Have you seen? Have you recognized? Have you understood the glory that awaits you at the end of the journey? That all these other things in comparison to that which awaits us should be temporary and light, should be in our own sight, in our heart's eyes, in our mind's eyes. They should be just temporary and light. Now, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that there's problems. And I'm not trying to diminish the fact that you may be discouraged or disillusioned or depressed. But I don't want you, brother, and I don't want myself to be so agitated and so overwhelmed that those things overtake me and cause me to cast away my faith from the living God and to forget the glory that awaits. And to forget that He is there waiting for us at the end of the journey. And those who endure to the end, they will reap the crown of life. They will reap the reward. There is a heaven coming, a home coming, but there's a hell coming for those that don't know Jesus. You say, well, yeah, Brother Steve, you said that a few times already. We get the point. But do you really? Do you really understand that the person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, there is not a homecoming for that person? There is not joy unspeakable and full of glory awaiting that person? There is not a new body that will never grow sick or old awaiting that person? There is only torment, separation from God eternally? The statistics say that every 10 seconds, somebody is dying. Think about that. Every 10 seconds, someone goes into eternity. Let God use your life to be the instrument that shows someone the way to Christ, the way to heaven, the true way, the actual way. Let God use your life to show the reality of heaven to somebody. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a co-worker. Sometimes that can be very intimidating, sharing your faith with others. I know. Been there many times. It can be very intimidating. Sometimes the fear of man is greater than the fear of God. They say confession is good for the soul. I'm giving you a little confession, a little insight in my own life. Sometimes I struggle with that. But lately I've been finding myself praying, Lord, I pray that you give me holy boldness to live for you, set up divine appointments for me, and then fill me with that holy boldness to speak your word without fear, without hesitation, that, Lord, someone else may know the way to Jesus Christ, because you know what? Time is short. The trump of God is soon to sound. And when the trump sounds, and when Jesus comes, we'll be in heaven. We won't have to worry about any of this stuff anymore. But you know what? There are going to be people here going through a tribulation. Thank God, even in that time, there's going to be those that are coming to Jesus, but they're going to lose their heads to get to heaven. Quite literally, their heads will be chopped off if they pronounce their faith in Jesus Christ at that time. You say, wow, but it's hard to serve Jesus right now. You don't understand the peer pressure I'm at school. You don't understand my friends at school. Why, they wouldn't want me to be around them if I don't do what they're doing, if I don't go along with them. They won't let me hang out with them. It's better to lose your so-called friends than to lose your life of eternity with Jesus Christ. I was a teenager once, believe it or not. I'm an old guy now, but hey. I remember what it was like when you had friends around you that said, hey, let's go do this, let's go do that. And you knew in your heart of hearts, because you were raised differently. You were raised in the Word of God. You were raised knowing what God's Word said. And they would come and they would tempt you and try to get you to do things with them, and you were fidgeting over there because you really wanted to be accepted and loved. But you know what? I came to the point where I finally recognized I'm already accepted and beloved in Jesus Christ. And if the people around me don't want to accept me and love me because I follow Jesus, I'll just pray for them that they come to know Jesus and they'll understand where I'm coming from. If you're a teenager here this morning, if you're a young person here this morning, in school you're going to get peer pressure. In school, you're going to get pressured to do things that you know you oughtn't do. And the only way to stand firm is to stand in the truth, to stand in the way, to stand in Jesus Christ. And you may be a grown man here. You may be a grown woman here. And in the workplace, you may be tempted and tried to do something that you know you oughtn't do. I tell you what, everywhere I go, there's Jezebels all around. They'll try to get you to cheat on your wife. There's guys out there that will try to get you women to cheat on your husbands. You know why? The devil doesn't like anything that God has done. God said a man shall be married to only one woman, and likewise a woman only to one man. And the two will cleave to one another. They'll be glued to one another. In other words, the two is going to become one. But the devil's out there trying to destroy marriages, trying to destroy homes. And that temptation is real, but the only way you're going to stand in the midst of it all is to stand in the way and to stand in the truth of Jesus Christ. There's that phrase from Nike, just do it. While the Word of God says don't do it, the Word of God says just say no. Resist the devil and he will flee. The only way you can resist him is if you're standing in Jesus. If you're standing in the truth. If you're walking in the way. If you're walking in the truth. There's some people that believe Christianity gives them license to go live however they want because they've just come to Jesus. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand and think that I'm becoming legalistic here now. Because some of you may be thinking, well, he's going to start getting legalistic now. No, I'm not getting legalistic. I just want to point out a fact. When Jesus said he's the truth, the life, and the way, no one comes to the Father except by him, that means we need to walk in the way that he walked. Because if we say we walk in light, but we're walking and living in darkness, we're liars and we do not the truth. The Bible says it. Those aren't my words. That's God-breathed inspiration of Scripture that says that. See, salvation and grace are not a license for sin, but it is freedom from sin. Grace is your emancipation proclamation that you are free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, you're free at last. That's what that grace is. That grace is not that I have the license to sin because God will forgive me anyway. Jude warns about that, that in the last days there are going to be those who creep in unawares, who are going to turn the grace of God into licentiousness and wantonness. Quite literally, they're going to be perverts and they're going to pervert the way of God. But he says something else, Jude, when he goes forward, he says, but you yourselves build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. On some having compassion, snatching them from the very fires of hell, and on others through gentle persuasion, bringing them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he gives a doxology at the end of that. He says, now unto him who is able to present you and keep you blameless and holy to the day of Christ's return, be all honor, glory, power, and praise. There is only one who is able to keep you. There is only one who is able to preserve you. There is only one who is able to present you holy on the day of Christ's return. And that is Jesus Christ himself. He is going to present you to the Father at the end of the journey and say, Father, this is one whom you have given to me, and I have not lost one that you have given me, except the son of perdition, that your word might be fulfilled. And that son of perdition we knew was Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the master. But that betrayal was all part of the plan and purpose of God. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you can know him today. You can take that step. The first step. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. The Bible says. I was almost going to misquote the Bible there. It doesn't say that. There's a phrase that says that. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. The journey of faith begins with that first step, putting your trust in Jesus Christ. And you stay on the pathway by living in the truth. And at the end of the pathway is eternal life, that homecoming. For us, there's going to be a homecoming. For us, there's going to be a family reunion. For us, there's a heaven waiting. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, there isn't heaven waiting for you at the end of the journey. All that awaits you is a dead end. Separation eternally from God. My heart's prayer is that if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, that you'll take the first step and put your faith and trust in him. And being that he is the truth, he'll show you the way, the rest of the pathway. He'll correct you when you're wrong. He'll correct your error because truth corrects error. But in order for truth to correct error, you have to love the truth. And you have to know the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. In reality, what he's saying, if you know me, I'll set you free. I'll give you liberty. I'll give you freedom. Thomas wanted a clarification, and Jesus gave it to him. And Jesus gave us the clarification. If you're in Jesus this morning, you're on your way to heaven. He's coming back very soon, and he's waiting for us to welcome us into his presence forever. Perhaps maybe you've not been living in the truth. Maybe you're a believer and you've taken the first step. You're in the way, but you're not on the way. You're not walking in the pathway of truth. Maybe you're playing games. Maybe you're playing church. Maybe you're going through the motions. But you really aren't walking in the truth of God's Word, the light of His Word. Well, then today it's not too late to let Him correct you. It's not too late to let Him bring you back to the pathway. No, it's not that it saves you. It's not that your works save you. No. He saves us. But what glory we bring His name when we live for Him. How we honor Him when we live for Him and we walk in His ways and His truth. Be the light where you're at. Be the salt. Point others to the path. I don't know how many of you have been watching the news lately, but there sure is a lot going on in this world that point to the coming of Jesus Christ. And He told His disciples, when you begin to see all these things, lift up your eyes because your redemption draweth nigh. Our redemption is nigh. It's even at the door. He's on His way. He's coming soon. It may be today. It may be tonight. Who knows? It may be in the next couple of seconds. Wouldn't that be awesome to be going from here hearing the gospel to being in His very presence seeing the gospel, the living truth? I remember as a young kid when I first came to the Lord, I always used to say, Lord, when You call me home, I want it to be while I'm doing something for You, while I'm proclaiming Your name and glorifying You. I'd love to be in church, Lord, when You blow the trumpet and You call Your children home. I just want to go from being with the people of God here to being with the people up in heaven. All of my family there, all at once. We're on our way to heaven. And the journey gets sweeter every day. If we walk in Jesus. If we talk with Jesus all along the way. Sometimes our hearts get so heavy. And the burden seems so heavy. And sometimes the pathway seems long and it seems like it'll never come to pass. But Jesus also told us through His Word, that in the last days many would come, scoffers who would say, where is the promise of His coming? My grandmother said He was coming back. My great-grandmother said He was coming back. People have been saying Jesus is coming back for years and years and years. Well, you know what? His coming's more close now than it ever has been in past. Today He's closer to coming than He was yesterday. And if He tarries tomorrow, He'll be one day closer to coming than He is today. So live as though Jesus died yesterday. Live with the expectation that He's coming back today. And let that impact your life. Let that impact your heart. Let that stamp eternity in your mind, in your heart, in your eyes, that when you look, you will see the harvest that is white and ready to harvest. And that you will begin to cry out to the Lord of the harvest that He raise up laborers. And then you volunteer to be a laborer in the harvest field also, saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, an instrument. You the minister, me the vessel. You see, ministry is not what we do for God. Ministry is what God does through us as we yield to the precious person of the Holy Spirit. I read those words 5 years ago from On Being a Servant, the book by Warren Wiersbe. I read those words 5 years ago when I was sitting in the school of ministry. And I read those words, and those words impacted me. That ministry is not what I'm doing for God. Ministry is what God is doing through me as I yield to Him. And if you will yield to Him, He will set up divine appointments for you. If you will yield to Him, He will give you that holy boldness when He sets those appointments. So that you will speak a word in its season. To uplift the downcast and the downtrodden and the discouraged. To point others to the way of salvation. He will give you the tongue as a pen of a ready writer prepared unto all good works. He will give you apples of gold on platters of silver. And making your words be life and light and salvation to those who will hear. For it is the preaching of the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. But to them who do not believe, it is foolishness. We have the words of life. We have the words of truth. We are in the way of life. We are in the way of truth. We are victorious, more than conquerors, overcomers in this world. I don't care what you're facing right now. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I don't care what trial you're facing right now. It's going to end. I don't care what problem you're facing right now. It will come to an end. I don't care what financial difficulties you may be going through. These material things will come to an end and there is a heaven waiting. I don't care what physical problems you're going through. Someday you're going to get a new body and you may not be able to leap and jump right now, but someday you're going to leap and jump on the streets of gold in the presence of the living God forevermore. Do not let your heart be troubled, brothers and sisters. There is a heaven coming, a homecoming. Do not let your hearts be agitated and troubled, brothers, to the point where you cast away your confidence in the only way, the only truth, and the only life that exists, and that is Jesus Christ. The only thing that we're to cast is to cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. That is to cast the burden, the pressure, the weight of those things upon Him. And in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, we will all be transformed. And this corruption will put on incorruption. And this mortal will put on immortality. And we will live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. But you have the truth. You indeed have the life today if you're a believer. Begin to pray for those around you that don't know Jesus. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. And ask the Lord to give you the opportunity and the privilege of pointing them to the pathway that leads to Jesus. The trumpet's going to sound very soon. Even the secular media is beginning to say we're living in apocalyptic times. We're living in troublesome times. We're living in perilous times. We're living in problem-filled times. But there is only one security, one strength, one solution in these times that we're living in, and that is keeping our trust and our faith and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will depend upon the name of the Lord our God. Everyone bow your head this morning. I want to give an opportunity today, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ, if you've never put your faith and your trust in Him, today you can take that first step that leads to heaven. Today you can know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. It's an absolute assurance that if you trust in Jesus, you are on your way to heaven. There is no ands, ifs, or buts about it. There is no, I have a good shot of getting to heaven. There is no, I don't know for sure, but maybe I can. Maybe if I'm good enough. No, you can know absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that you are on your way to heaven by putting your trust in Jesus. So if there be anyone here this morning, I want to give you an opportunity right now to come to know Jesus. We want to pray with you and lead you in a prayer that will affirm your trust and faith and your decision to put your confidence in God. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you would like to know Jesus, or maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure if you're on your way to heaven, you can know for sure today. I want you to raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Is there anyone here this morning? Just indicate it by raising your hand. We'll give you a couple of minutes here and so I don't want anyone to leave here not knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. I don't want anyone to walk out of here saying, I never knew. No one ever told me. I didn't know the way. You've heard. Now you're responsible to do with what you heard and make a decision, a choice. Today is the day of salvation. There's a decision to be made. I can't make it for you. Your mom and dad can't make it for you. Your friend can't make it for you. Only you can make that decision for yourself this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you'd like to know Him, just indicate that by raising your hand. Praise God. Well, brothers and sisters, you that are on the road, let's stand together. Let's leave with rejoicing this morning that we're on our way to heaven and there's a homecoming for us. And let's leave with the heart's intent that we are going to be instruments that God can use to point others to the pathway. Your family, your friends, grandchildren. Think of someone today that you can begin to pray for. And then when God says go, you go and you speak to them about Jesus. And watch God do a transformation in their lives.
And I can see the light.